Well, today we're going to look at this amazing and wonderful gift called the gift of mercy. So let's have a look at this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, says Paul in Romans chapter 12. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with the faith that's been given you. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then encourage. Give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Or as in some versions of the Bible, all depends which one you read, it says cheerfully or readiness of mind. Because as you look at the original text, it can be interpreted in two ways there. If your gift is showing mercy, do it cheerfully or do it with readiness of mind. Now, the gift of mercy is a wonderful gift in the church. It's a gift of compassion and a gift of kindness. Let's just see if this is okay. Here's a definition. A gift of compassion and kindness. Those with the gift of mercy are moved to relieve the distress and pain of others by offering acts of kindness or emotional support. They are motivated by the removal of hurt and pain. They are distressed with the presence of hurt and pain. And this is a God-given gift. This is a gift of grace. Comes to us from Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And those who have this gift, whilst as Christians, we're all called to show mercy. We're all called to be compassionate. We're all call to put ourselves in the shoes of others. But those who have a gift of mercy do this instinctively. They're wired up to do this thing. They can smell distress and pain at 50 yards away. They are very sensitive to atmospheres and emotional distress. They can look at somebody in the eye and they can tell their condition of soul if they're in pain or hurting, and they are naturally and drawn by their compassion and the movement of their emotions, and it's almost like a magnet that draws them to help this person in pain or distress. It can be practical or it can be emotional support. So when we think of practical support, of course, somebody who comes to the mind immediately would be something like Mother Teresa, who evidently has a mercy gift. And she is living with people in distress and pain, and it's outworked for her in a very practical way. But often it's associated in the life of a local church, for example, yes, with acts of kindness, that's vitally important, but also those who are moved to offer emotional support. Now, as we look at the life of Jesus, we see Jesus operated in the gift of mercy and compassion regularly. All the gifts that we've been exploring, we see in the life of Christ. And there are times when we hear words like, Jesus saw that the people were like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. And he saw their distress and moved with compassion. And that's when he, for example, fed the 5,000. But there was this compassion. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest, speaking about Jesus, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus moves in the gift of mercy, as all the other gifts, and it is a gift of Jesus that we have. So let's just move on. Often it's for emotional support. A gift of mercy, as I've said, is motivated to move pain. It can be sensitive to words and actions and the hurt of others. And those of you who have this gift will recognize that, yes, I'm like that. When somebody says something that wounds somebody or somebody is hurting, it causes me distress, and I want to go and fix it. I want to take away that pain. I want to bring comfort. I want to be quick to give emotional support of those who are in distress. And the purpose of it is to give comfort and strength to those who are in pain and distress, that they may not go in. This is the purpose of it, that they may not remain in their despair. that they may not stop in the middle of a valley. Now, this is the purpose from God's point of view, why he has given it to you. Not just to take away the pain that they feel better, but they may keep moving on. Because when we're in emotional pain or challenge or difficulty, that pain can overwhelm us and we can go into despair, which can be destructive. It can stop people moving on in their walk with Jesus, moving on into Christ-likeness, moving on into the purposes of God for them, and they can stop in the middle of a valley. Depression can cause you to stop in the middle of your valley. It can stop you praying, it can stop you reading scripture, it can stop you doing the laundry, it can stop you getting out of bed in the morning, it can stop you mowing the lawn, it can stop you making an effort, it can stop you, it can just cause your life to go on pause. And the gift of mercy comes into people who are in emotional pain and distress and gives them a comfort that actually produces a strength for them to keep walking forward. It's more than just the removal of pain from God's point of view. It's so that people don't slump into the negativity of sin. And it's a gift of Jesus. So the purpose of the mercy gift is to support the emotions of those in pain as they move towards Jesus and a Jesus-centered life or Jesus-centered living. So those of you who have the gift of mercy, I want to encourage you, and all of us actually, even if it's not one of our predominant gifts, to understand this. The goal of all the spiritual gifts and the goal of all the gifts of Jesus that he gives us is actually to motivate and move and empower and encourage and strengthen people that they may continue to follow Jesus and be like Jesus in the things that they think, in the words that they say, in the attitudes of their spirit, and in the way that they live, that they become Christ-like. Romans chapter 8 says this, "For those God foreknew, he determined or predetermined to be conformed to the image of his Son." The goal of our salvation, the purpose of God in your life is that we might become like Jesus. That's why he came. That's what salvation means. Salvation just doesn't mean my sins have been forgiven, hoopity-doo, I'm going to heaven. What salvation means is hoopity-doo, I am being restored to the original design that God wanted, to be like Jesus. So the gift of mercy, and I want you to really grasp this, mercy people, and all of us, the gift of mercy, the goal of Christ, the reason why he has given it to you and wired you up this way, is that your gift may support people in their emotions when they're in pain, that they may keep walking with Jesus. That they may keep drawing upon the grace of God so his spirit may continually conform us into the image of his Son. I'm confident of this very thing, says Paul, that he who began a good work in you will continue it. And the great thing about it is that he's given a salt and peppering load of gifts within the church that are the vehicle and the instruments of God's power and presence to come to us that we may continually have the work of God worked in us that we may be like Jesus. So a Christ-like response in the emotional pain is always the goal of the gift of mercy. Now, you may not have considered it that way because you're moved by emotion and it's the emotion to, the movement to relieve pain is the thing that's drawing you. But we must be mindful of the goal of God in you and why he's given you that gift to make you like Christ. So the purpose of the gift is to strengthen and to bring comfort, to strengthen and support the emotions as we seek to allow Jesus to guide and lead and challenge us. So the gift of mercy must be complemented with cheerfulness and readiness of mind. So when it says in Romans chapter 12, those of you who have the gift of mercy, serve with cheerfulness and readiness of mind. So what one has to do is say, I am moved with this compassion, but I need to complement it, according to the scriptures, with two important ingredients, cheerfulness and readiness of mind. Those who lead, lead with diligence. I need to complement my leadership gift with diligence. Those who have mercy, you must complement it with cheerfulness and readiness of mind. So what does this mean? This means watch your emotions. Cheerfulness has something to do with the attitude of our emotions. Protect your emotions. When you have the gift of mercy, your emotions can be depleted because you are serving out of your emotional resource, and it can be very taxing and draining and depleting on the person who has the gift of mercy. Because you are seeking to help people in their distress, you so easily take on their pain and their distress, and you carry that with you, and the danger is you make it your own problem as well, and you find that there's like a hose attached to you, and your emotional resources are being drained, and you can soon find yourselves overwhelmed with the troubles of others and have a very heavy heart as you are empathizing with people's challenge. So that's why Paul says, if you have the gift of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. And what he's saying is, guard your heart, keep it buoyant, keep it joyful, because as you're surrounded and drawn to people's pain, it will take the joy out of your life, and you can find yourself in a very precarious situation. Protect your emotions. You need to have boundaries. People who have the gift of mercy struggle with boundaries. They rush in to help here, there, and everywhere, and they go home and they are exhausted emotionally. Can I just say this, those who have the gift of mercy? It's a wonderful gift. We thank God for you, but I want to take a burden off you. You are not the spiritual NHS. God hasn't given it to you that there is a big waiting list and you have targets. In other words, I have to do this all the time, and if I don't, I feel guilty and I'm letting somebody down. You understand? You have to have boundaries. You have to give yourself space emotionally to recover. You don't have to take on every single case, so to speak, and run to every single need. You're not the Messiah. And people with a gift of mercy so feel for other people's pain that it's instinctive to help. And what happens is that they can become very emotionally exhausted. Yeah? It's not the people you seek to comfort and help through this wonderful gift. Remember this, they're not your problem. They're not your pain. They're not your responsibility. It's not your life. Learn to pray. Learn to leave it with God. Have fun. Choose friends that replenish you. You see, those who have this amazing gift, and I just want to help you in this, I just want to say, we so value you. You are such an amazing gift to the body of Christ. But sometimes the danger is all of one's time can be taken up with meeting and socializing and having coffee and meeting up and people who are in pain. And there's no time because the need is so great and you respond to it, like Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you, the hurting you will always have with you, that you don't have the sometimes guilt won't allow you to have boundaries and say, we are going to just have some time for friends that are not in pain, that actually replenish me emotionally. So when I walk out of that coffee time or that meal together or that cinema or that time with those friends or friend, I feel emotionally replenished. Friends that energize. We all have friends, friends that can energize us. And there are environments that we're in that are right for us to minister into, but they deplete us. You must be able to give yourself permission to have time with friends that energize you. Jesus did it. Do you notice how Jesus, he had the 12, and then it says he had the 3, Peter, James, and John. As you look through the Bible, you actually see that Jesus, whilst he loves us all the same, Jesus actually had 3 friends that he actually singled out, so to speak, to spend more time with. And often he would go away to a lonely place after a hard or week's work with his friends, Peter, James, and John. That's what happened when they were up the mountain on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were there, and Jesus. And God came and transfigured Jesus. And only Peter, James, and John were there, taken there deliberately by Jesus. Now the others might think, well, I don't think that's very fair. Jesus has gone off with his... But no, Jesus was a human being, and all that he did, he modeled for our example. You need to take time so that you are replenished. Otherwise, you will find that your mercy gift, which is a gift and a grace and a blessing from God to you and others, can become your Achilles heel. So choose friends that replenish. Don't become overwhelmed by the pain. Don't lose your joy. Remember, they're not your responsibility. Firstly, folks in the church are the responsibility of God because he is their father. And then secondly, if they do have a responsibility of human beings, he's the responsibility of elders, because the Bible says elders will give an account for the souls of people. I will give an account. The elders will give an account. They're not your responsibility. So you don't have to bear with it. You are a gift of God to them, but it all doesn't hang on you. Yeah? And you're not called or created or wired up that way to bear the responsibility of their spiritual well-being. Let me tell you why, because a mercy gift is a very tender gift. Mercy-gifted people are very tender, and they can be wounded very easily. And therefore, in terms of carrying weight of responsibility, when they carry it, it crushes them. But elders and leaders, they do have mercy and compassion, honest. Honest, they do. But you can't operate as a leader if that's your primary gift. You can't, because it'll kill you. Literally, you'll burn out. You couldn't bear the weight of it. It's wired up a different way, a leadership gift. Leaders can carry responsibility mixed with mercy and compassion. Mercy-gifted people carry high levels of emotional feeling, but they don't do responsibility well, bearing the responsibility. It crushes them. So can I say, it's not your responsibility. It's okay. Go home, guilt-free. It's all right. Yeah? It's a great gift, isn't it? What a wonder! This is such a wonderful gift in the church. But Paul also, but the language of the text and interpretations of the Bible also talk about use your gift with cheerfulness of heart and readiness of mind. So what we're talking about here is use your mind as well as your heart. Now this is really tough for mercy-gifted people. Just as it's tough for mercy-gifted people to set boundaries up, they really find that hard, but you must. That's discipline. Discipline is hard, but if you do it, it saves you. Also, it's tough for mercy-gifted people to use their head as well as their heart. Show mercy with readiness of mind. Paul is saying here, just don't let your emotions dictate your gift, because your emotions can lead you astray if you leave your mind behind. Mercy gift people can sometimes overlook the facts that brought about the pain. For example, the person who is in debt because of irresponsibility. The addict who is caught stealing or shoplifting and is now so infuriated with the person who is testifying against him, but actually it is his own misdemeanor that brought it about. A mercy gift of people can look at the pain, but not actually look at what the person did that brought about the consequence. And they sort of feel for the pain. But it's a readiness of mind as well as a readiness of heart that Paul is saying we must complement the gift with. The church member who is upset because of a correction over their sin, and sometimes the mercy gifted person can so feel for the pain of the person who's been corrected that they overlook the fact that something serious has gone on here and it had to be sorted. But their offense has been taken because their primary emotional response is emotional. And you think, oh, I so feel for your pain. This is terrible that you're in pain. And it clouds the issue that the pain is a result of their own sin, unbiblical living, damaging behavior, or what have you. Many circumstances where we feel the upset to pain is of no fault of our own. Bereavement, an accident, redundancy, an illness. But then sometimes there's pain because of our sin or our foolishness or if we come into God's discipline. And Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, as a father disciplines his children for their own good, so the father disciplines his children. No discipline is pleasant at the time, says Hebrews, but it is painful. It's painful. Emotion is painful. But if handled right, it has the power to produce a harvest of peace, holiness, righteousness. Look it up, Hebrews chapter 12. And then Paul says this, there is a worldly sorrow that leads to death, a worldly pain that leads to death. And there is a godly sorrow, a godly pain that leads to repentance. And often in life, when we go through circumstance and we experience emotional distress or mental distress because of our own foolishness or our own sin or our own actions, it does produce pain. And when the discipline of God comes in, whether that's through direct Holy Spirit doing stuff, but so often the Father has orchestrated a means of discipline in the life of community through church leadership or what have you, when that happens, yes, it does cause pain. But the purpose of it is to bring about repentance. But it doesn't always go that way. That's why Paul says in the book of Ephesians, in your anger, emotional pain, do not sin. Because it leads to death. It leads, in other words, not a physical death, but it actually a work against the work of God in our life. We are moving in fleshly things, which actually doesn't produce spiritual life, but it produces a spiritual fruit of death. Anger and revenge. All that stuff. So when we're in pain, we have two choices. We can either go into repentance, which produces holiness and righteousness, or we can go into we can have a pain that doesn't produce repentance, produces a work of death in a spiritual death. In other words, works against the purposes of God. So those who show mercy must have the readiness of mind that always supports and points to the godly life of Christ. The purpose of your gift is not to relieve a pain, full stop, to support people in their emotions and their pain, that they may journey towards Jesus, journey towards biblical living, journey towards repentance, journey towards get me out of this hole that I've got myself into. Or if it's a, or it's as a result of something that's happened that isn't due to their own actions, like a bereavement, journey them towards the stages of bereavement with the trust and the help of God, looking to Him through every stage. If I'm redundant, journeying towards faith in God rather than, I'm going to put my tools down. Why have you let this happen, God? No, God loves you. He is good. He is good. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing to change, but there's a lot to trust for. And the mercy gift journeys people into that Christ-like response and supports the emotion. So my advice to you in the light of Paul's teaching is this. Whilst one is operating in the gift of mercy, use your mind, guard your heart, don't rush in. Just don't rush in. Now, the mercy gift tends to be a knee-jerk reaction. Pain, rush in. There's a telephone call. There's a coffee. Oh, can I be honest? Can I be honest with you for a moment? Is that all right? No, Mark says no. Can I just let you behind the scenes of leadership, pastoral responsibility, just for a moment? Just give you a little peek. There's been over 25 years of ministry. It's quite a long time. It's a really long time. I don't know why you're laughing, Gary. As long as I haven't laughed. Over 25 years of ministry, there's been occasions when a mercy gift has rushed in and you think, oh, I wish they'd just give me a call because it's so complicated it. Because you're having a conversation, you're giving a process of counsel, and you're dealing with a live issue, and suddenly all the mercy gifts, you know, and actually it really muddies the water. Yeah? Sometimes you're dealing with I don't want to say anything because I just want to give any these. But sometimes it can be unhelpful. Sometimes it's absolutely brilliant or fantastic. Somebody's offering support. But it's always a wise thing to use your head, not just rush out of your instinctive. And if there's somebody in pain, just give small group leader or elder a call and say, hey, I've noticed so-and-so's in pain. You know, and of course, if it's confidential and appropriate, no details will be given. But some helpful, appropriate approaches can be given so that you can help them with your gift accelerate into the Christ life response. And that way your gift is maximized. Because all of our gifts have weaknesses. I had the gift, I was helping a church out once. Lovely church, lovely, lovely leader who had a tremendous gift of giving. Now, if you've got a gift of giving, every in a church, that's fantastic. Have a gift of giving. But there was but this senior leader of the church had such a great gift of giving. Problem was, he led out of his gift and gave all the money away. Couldn't do any decorating. Couldn't do any maintenance. Leaky roofs. Couldn't change the carpet. Couldn't do anything because all the money would be given away. Because every gift needs to be disciplined. Because if we live out of our gift alone, we all become like lopsided as a body. And you've got to count support is saying cheerfulness, readiness of mind, mercy. Yeah? So don't rush in. Talk to an elder, small group leader. Sometimes it can be unhelpful just to knee-jerk reaction. The other thing, mercy gift people can attract those who are in the process of correction or discipline from church leaders. This is one of the things, because people are in pain, instantly feel they're going to get support from, and they gravitate towards them. And the people who have the mercy gift feel, they don't know what's going on, they don't know here what's going on, but they feel the pain, they gravitate, it's like magnets. And what happens then is folk can take on an offence or be drawn into something, gets very complicated, but Paul says, use your mind, set your boundaries, and let the gift fly. Isn't this great stuff? So wise, isn't it? Also, this is difficult for mercy gift people. I hope you find this helpful, because the purpose of doing this is to train you to be great at your gift. Sometimes, not giving support is the part of the process of God. Now, that is like cut off my arm for mercy gift people, because they're so compassionate. But let me give you an example. Let me give you three examples. One, when somebody has self-pity. Self-pity is like emotional obesity. This is what self-pity is. Self-pity is not thinking, oh, I'm wounded, I'm hurt. Self-pity is when it goes into fleshly indulgence of a selfish... It's actually a being sorry for yourself where it's actually gone into selfishness and sin. It's called self-pity. And what happens is that people who have self-pity go around for emotional support for different people, pouring out their story, pouring out their pain, with no intent to change, but just go around one person to another person to another person to another person, telling their story to get emotional feeding with no intent to change. And what you do then, by giving people that support, you are feeding their selfishness. And it grows and grows, and it's like an addict. You become addicted to the emotional support of others. And you become emotionally obese. It's like emotional gluttony. Now what you need to do in those circumstances, and this is really hard, believe me, this is really hard, you must not feed it. But you need to give corrective instruction on how to overcome it. And you need to bring a strict discipline. So I remember, you don't know who this is, not a part of the church, because I've been in this a long time. I can tell this story, and it's got not a part of our congregation here. I remember somebody doing this, and I said, right, what you need to do is, rather than go around one person to another person when you're feeling in distress, you need to have a logbook. And when you start feeling emotionally overwhelmed and sorry for yourself, you've got to ask yourself this question: what have I been thinking about today? And what thoughts have caused me to feel this despair? Because it's coming down to a wrong train of thought. And you need to challenge your thought, and then identify your thought rather than get your emotions fed. Begin to think right and act differently in the light of what you've identified. Did that for a month, came back. How's your month been? I feel much better. I don't feel emotionally ruined. It's not feeding it, but it's addressing the issue. Does that make sense? Okay. So the worst thing you can do for people with self-pity is give emotional support. This is agony for mercy gifted people. It's really tough. The other area is like in Matthew 18, where it says, warn a person once, warn them twice, after that have nothing to do with them, or put them out of the church or what have you. When people are in a process of discipline where they're no longer in fellowship, God places them outside of the resources of the church to bring them back. But if they don't go outside and realize what they've missed, their friendship, their love, their support, we still love them, but, you know, the access to it, they never come back. It's the principle of the prodigal son. The father let the son go, spend all his money. He was eating the pig's food, and he said, what have I come to? I'm better to be a slave in my father's house. And it was the fact that he realized he'd lost so much produced repentance. That's what discipline does. And it's really hard for mercy people gifted to, when somebody is under discipline, to not rush in and support. But if you do that, you will be working against God. Because God is disciplining, like the prodigal son, letting them go to bring them back. And sometimes it's only the letting go and the removing of support that causes people to come to their senses. When he came to his senses, it says, oh, I'm better off in my father's house. That's why the disciple, oh, it's so hard for mercy gifted people. And the other thing I want to illustrate is that when people, it's a little bit like self-pity, but when people are emotionally dependent, you know, you are an emotional junkie. And we need to just get self-indulgent. We need to be aware of these things. So with guarding your heart, readiness of mind, working together as a team, let your gift fly in that context. And you will be used by God to support people who would normally stay in the valley or be overwhelmed with their despair to get up on their spiritual feet and journey with Jesus. Isn't that great? That's the purpose of the gift. And that's why you're so special. Remember, yours is one of many gifts. And as you value the others in the body of Christ, if the hand is all one hand, where would be the seeing be? If it's all one ear, where would be the speaking be? As you recognize that your gift, with everybody else's gift, is a component, we need them all to work in their proper place. We become like a family. We value comfort and we value correction. What a lousy parent. It was only ever comfort, but inflicted no pain of discipline. Yeah? I'm not talking about physical pain, but, you know, I remember when my kids were small and I would just say to one of them, I won't say which it is, I say to one of them, no. And a little chin would go, and I don't even be saying no. I haven't done anything. But it's the discipline, you see. You gave it away. I'm trying to protect you guys. But let's look. What parent, what good parent would just be all emotion and comfort and never inflict the pain of discipline? I wouldn't be a good parent, would I? But you recognize in the household of God, as in a family household, you need both. So, what we want is this. So the importance of the mercy gift. In fine, I'm going to wrap through this really quickly. It's most effective, fitted into the picture alongside the other gifts in the body of Christ. We all get hurt. We all get pain. We all have challenges, all have distress, all have difficulty. We all have emotions that can overwhelm us. I am so grateful for the mercy gift people that have helped me. And I'm grateful for the mercy gift people that help one another in the body of Christ. You are... awesome people. And God wants to use your gift to comfort people so their pain will not defeat them. Praise God. Their pain will not defeat them. God wants to give comfort and strength that your gift may support people emotionally. They may move forward into the purposes of God, no matter how rewarding or challenging that may be. He wants to use you that people will trust in Jesus. Moving into holiness and obedience, moving into love and wholeness. The mercy gift helps the members of the body of Christ do this. Often more than a sermon. Often more than a sermon. Because unless you've got the heart and the head working together, we ain't going nowhere. You are so important. So when working together, make sure that you're fitted into the big picture, working alongside the other gifts of the body of Christ. And you will move people into the purposes of God and into wholeness and freedom and all that God intends them to be. That's why we need you. So be effective. Make your life count and add readiness of mind and all that that means, and cheerful of heart and all that that means with your boundaries to this amazing gift that you've got, and grow the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you.